Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
Ideas. And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Burchell.
Alistair, look, I accept that you can be insane in the brain.
Yeah.
But insane in the membrane.
Like, that's just the outer part?
I guess.
Or is it...
What is it, the mucous membrane that surrounds the brain?
Yeah. I mean, that's when you know you are really insane.
Sure.
When you're in the bits where there's not even any synapses. Where the consciousness does not even occur.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. When you're insane on such a fundamental level in your firmware... You know, not just.
It feels like it's even outside of the fundamentality.
Wow, something below fundamental.
I really feel like the brain is fundamental to consciousness, and the brain and the membrane is not.
Mm. Yeah, I felt like that was what I was saying, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, you said so fundamental.
Rooted in the. I'm not doing well mentally right
now. I'm rooted in my booted.
That'd be a great. This is my great parody band, right?
Mm.
This is all the Prodigy,
Malta
if they
Mountain.
Were Aussie, what would that be like?
The Prodigy
aren't they the ones who said "insane in the brain, insane in the membrane"? Was that
no? It would have been. I think it would have been Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill. Oh, the Prodigy is psychosomatic, attic, insane.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
I'm not even sure. Is psychosomatic insane? Okay, you could be right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you might be right there. I actually don't. I don't know the Prodigy very
right.
well. Is that the one that they do? A friend in need is
No. That's Placebo.
Placebo.
The Prodigy is
yeah.
Smack My Bitch Up.
Yeah.
Insane in the Brain, I think.
But they meant the smack my thing up in a kind of in a positive way. It's a kind of a it's a Caucasics, you know, in Caucasics.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I'm trying to find the white version of Ebonics. Caucasics. Actually to smack means to caress kindly in a loving manner.
Yeah,
I'm
afraid I'm not sure
and
that they did mean it in
my
that
bitch,
way.
My bitch is a Scandinavian, a Nordic term. My bitch, which means, you know, mother figure.
Well, that's a lot better. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, all right. Well, then I'll have to do an Australian version of Cypress Hill.
Care for my elderly mother up is kind of what they actually meant.
Alistair, we're talking at cross purposes.
Andy, you know what would be good? It would be great to get the first, like, hardcore, like, you know, nightclub dance track that is about caring for an elderly relative.
Yeah. Elder care.
Elder care. That's exactly. But you got to disguise it. How could you disguise it enough so people think that it's about fucking?
Well, I mean, you could definitely talk about taking a lot of pills, right?
Because
that
yes.
is.
So stealing them from your mother.
Well, no. I guess you're describing like the need to take a lot of pills every day to keep going, right?
Yeah,
that is both a dance club phenomenon and also the lived reality of the infirm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the Parkinson's.
It's about an aging generation.
Yeah.
So at some point, you're taking care of your elderly relative, but you are also yourself elderly.
Mm. Great.
You see, so now there's a reason why you're both popping pills.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a little bit like the Chance the Rapper, song where he goes, "We don't do the same drugs no more. We don't do the same drugs like that." And that's like you and your mom.
But if you're getting elderly, maybe you are doing this. If you're both elderly, wasn't that your contention? Maybe you are.
Yes. Yes, that was my contention, but I was suggesting that the kinds of drugs that you're doing now are heart medication, things that stop your brain from stopping or zapping you or something like that, you know. And so that's different to the drugs that you and your mom used to do, which were like chamomile tea. And and a hot cup of Joe. How about this? You've heard of Cup of Joe. What about this Cup of Joe? Hey, the people who police the coffee.
Yeah. Oh no, I was thinking like you drink something out of a cop, right?
Oh yeah.
Like
Cup of Joe. Yeah.
I imagine that would feel if you were of the gangster persuasion.
You're running this city.
The idea that you have the police so in your pocket that you can then take them out of your pocket, lay them down on a thing in front of you, have them open their mouth, pour liquid into their mouth, have them lie there nice and still, and either with a straw or by having two of your henchmen pick up the cop and bring them to your lips and pour the liquid from their cop lips into your mouth for a little sip, that is a new level.
It's hot. It'll be really hot. You couldn't have more.
Is it? Oh, it is a hot cop of Joe, isn't it? Right.
Yeah, it's a hot cop of Joe.
Yeah.
And the cop could be hot as well, but I don't need that.
They don't have to be. Could
it doesn't have to be a
could the cop? But, I mean, would we line the mouth of the cop like they do in a keep cup or something with an extra layer of like a stainless steel or something there, so that the cop doesn't have boiling water kept in their mouth? Or is that part of your power?
I think it's part of the power.
Yeah, wow.
I would, for some reason in my mind, I feel like it's more powerful to have the cop have to stand and then two people just lift him up and kind of tip him. But you would also be like, hey, curl your lip, because you want a little lip on the
thing. You need a lip.
You
need to sip from a lip.
You need to sip from a lip, which is, it makes the human face that one of the perfect drinking vessels.
I shoot from the hip and I sip from the lip. That's your catchphrase.
And I sit from the tit.
Oh, I sit on a tit.
No, not sit on a tit. I sit from my tit.
I wonder if it would be possible to have such saggy boobies that you could sit on your own tit. Because sitting on a testicle is a is a reality.
That is true. Yeah.
But I think you might be able to reach a point. If there's anybody in the world who can do that, I think
phone in, write into us, tell us your experience. I just had a weird flash that somebody sent us an email at some point and I didn't respond just then.
A synapse. One synapse woke up, fired, and then went rolled over and went straight back to sleep.
It was an email that said, "Where is your show on YouTube?" And it was from a company that's like, "Yeah, we'll put it on YouTube for you." Isn't that amazing? No matter what it is in life that you want to do, right? As soon as there's a want to do something, then that means that there's a desire to do it well and to get good at it and to be successful. And that means that there's effort there that needs to be taken. And that means that there's people who then will offer you the chance to pay to not have to do the work that it takes to get that bit.
Yeah, but also as soon as there's a company that wants to charge you to do some little service that you could do yourself, that makes me not want to do it at all.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's why we're so successful.
Mm, yeah. 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 We've got that real healthy psychology that just smooths that path to success.
I have an opinion that, like, that there is an element in which I think having, like, ambition, I think, is good to a certain extent because it does drive you. But I also think that it is an illness.
Yeah.
Because at some point you are, like, pushing beyond what is healthy for you, I think. What is healthy for you mentally. Like, and so that's why now I look at every person who is successful, very successful, with a kind of weird suspicion of, like, how mentally okay are you, or how, you know, for you to have successfully got to this point.
Yeah. Sure.
But then maybe I because then there's a part in which we have attained a certain level of success, and then I'm allowing myself to not feel that as much towards myself just because I feel like I'm Homer Simpsoning my way through life.
But then I think also what we've done is we have a, you know, yes, there's a certain sickness that makes us want to, you know, go out there, get attention and, you know, create this stuff, right?
Yeah.
But then what that has done is that has pushed us up to a certain point where our other mental illnesses, I'm using that term loosely, are pushing back down again. So we've reached that kind of an equilibrium, right? That's the things of procrastination and self-doubt and all that stuff. So, right, that's a kind of a homeostasis. A theory of being, which is entirely built around conflicting illnesses. There is no healthy mental state. All you can hope to have is have your various neuroses and pathologies in balance. That should be our.
Yeah.
That should be.
I mean, I genuinely think that that's actually kind of how everything works. Mm. Everything is just a push and pull of certain things, and then you live in the equilibrium.
But nobody is promoting that as a way of life. Nobody's out there offering an unwellness retreat, right? Which you can go along to.
To make one of your unwellnesses stronger so that you can.
Exactly. So that it can balance out. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you come to our unwellness center, we're going to push your ambition illness into a state of overdrive. You know, we'll cross it. We'll push it across a tipping point. In which your ambition will, it will completely overtake your self-respect, like that, and that will knock it all over, and then you will be able to be driven towards this idea that it isn't in any way important to be the best at something in the world, and have people talk about you and say nice things.
I wonder if you can get drugs that can enhance your ambition. I wonder if I should take one of those. I wonder if I would take one of those. I mean, I think in the future, we will be able to have all emotions as different additives.
Well, in my experience in medication that is for any kind of attention deficit disorders. The main benefit that I've seen, the main negative that I've seen is that you still have to sleep, right? Because or else your brain is still fucked.
Yeah.
And you can't focus and stuff like that. The main benefit I've seen is that it removes that feeling of, well, I couldn't possibly do anything today.
Really?
Which I think is a form of increasing ambition.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really goes from like, nah, there's no way, to, yeah, right, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
And so there is that, but I don't know if you can, like, I mean, probably cocaine seems to give people some ambition. I mean.
Certainly gives them the ambition to ruin everybody else's night.
Yeah, with your ideas. Mm. Andy, this podcast, like, I've never done cocaine, right? Mm. But this podcast sounds like the exact description of what somebody is like when they're on cocaine. They just have ideas that clearly cannot be done.
Yeah.
And that they may never do, never even attempt.
Is it too late to rebrand this as Cocaine the Podcast?
Andy, it's never too late. I think a big rebrand actually be very... At the moment, people probably hear the title and they think, oh, well, yeah, why would I listen to you guys talking about policy? With the slight little thing in their brain going, yeah, but why would it be in the weird shape of like that two in the pink, one in the stink kind of phrasing?
Is that the first time we've ever acknowledged that on the podcast?
I think so, yeah. I've been embarrassed a tremendous amount by that.
As we should be, as we completely should be. What an insane thing for the title of the podcast to be a reference to.
I mean, that's what season 5 is all about to me. It's about acknowledging the disgusting truths that has been in everybody's
mind.
That is
the
whole time.
The original sin of this podcast is that the name is a pun on two.
Well, it's not
real.
Like, I mean, it's only it only borrows the phrasing.
Indeed.
Of the two in the.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't have the second half.
No.
I don't want anyone to think that we are in any way connected to this phrase.
We don't endorse it.
Yeah, we don't endorse
we
the phrase.
We don't use it. It just so happens.
We don't like the hand shape that
we
I mean,
use
that was
the
literally
mold,
like I
right? We
I think that
the...
was literally some Dane Cook branding was doing that hand shape.
Really?
We're not associated with Dane Cook in any way.
Apart from our catchphrase, now we're Dane Cookin', which we do say when we get a good we have a good idea.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the limit of it. That's as far as it goes.
Yeah. It's good to get that out, Andy. I've genuinely feel a heaviness that's been lifted off me. Some other people may have never thought that at all. Probably all the decent people who listen to this podcast. And now they might have a heaviness put upon them.
Mm.
So, you know, well, there we go. I think I've re-put a new heaviness upon me now with that thought.
Now everybody feels worse.
All right. Now, I've written down two ideas so far.
Right. Can I suggest something that we talked about off the pod, which is the idea of having your two hemispheres of your brain taken apart, separated, and put into two different bodies, right?
Yeah.
So that you can just basically have an extra body to get more stuff done, right?
Yeah. And do you think this would be done as in like put into a brain dead person's body, or would you be making a clone? I guess you would start with a brain dead person's body probably is the easiest way to start this technology.
Mm.
Clones obviously is where you're trying to head to, but maybe there's a place in between in which you're actually cutting your body in half but trying to make it function like an individual body.
I mean, I think the two... maybe it could be that, like, you have a brain-dead body, right? And you slice your body in half, right?
Yeah.
Down the brain hemisphere
really good idea,
divide.
Andy.
And then you sew it onto the two halves of another body, of that brain-dead body.
I mean, the way in which I feel like that would fuck up your back, having two different length legs like that or whatever.
No, you're right, forget it.
No, but you know what? Hey, there's no reason why we can't split your body bottom half, top half.
No, there is, Alistair, because we're splitting down the brain divide. That was the whole point of the thing.
I know, but what we're going to do is we're going to do the slice down through the brain, and then go hard left, and then we're going to slice just kind of over the table for a bit. Then we're cutting into the table. It's just like in that butcher's paper that doctors put down when they're doing surgery, you know?
Yeah.
And then into the table, and then a hard right around the, just under the belly button.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're doing that.
No, you're right. I like the one that you're saying, through the middle of the body, half brain dead.
I've never seen this in a movie, and I think we should explore it. I mean, I think what would be interesting to see...
Oh, you could have half the left brain, dead brain in there as well.
Yeah, indeed. But having the left brain, right brain, seeing... Is it the left brain that is supposedly the, like, the creative, subconscious-y sort of part of the brain?
Like, as in like, the kind of the myth, like, as in you want to speak within the myth idea? Like, the... I think that all that is now considered bullshit, but... Yep. But you would just want to speak within the concept, right?
Well, I wasn't even sure that it was considered bullshit. I'm not so up to date on this stuff as you obviously are, Alistair. I don't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that all that kind of stuff is sure. bullshit. But
within the myth, all right. Let's dip back into the myth. Okay.
Let's. All right, we're opening the portal to the myth.
Gorillas
but,
in the myth.
But just know that everything. Unlike everything else that we talk about in season 5, which is all hard truths.
By the way, I still refer to this as season 4.
I know, and I think that you're wrong.
Well, I'm the one
because I think season 0 was season 1.
I'm the one who puts the numbers on the uploads of the episodes. No.
God damn! All right, and I love that. I love that there's a hard truth here in which you're willing to admit that you're doing that incorrectly.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay.
Oh, I owe you $250.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Which bank? Cool. Wait, what's your bank account number that you're using?
I don't care.
At the moment?
Whatever bank account number you've got, it will work. Still, I still have all my bank accounts.
No,
exist
Andy,
somewhere.
Say your bank account number on the podcast.
Oh, this is the most scatterbrained episode ever, Alistair.
I mean, we are not . We literally have, like, not spoken for 3 weeks, probably, in actual spoken.
Mm.
And then we get to have a quick pre-pod chat where we go, how are you? You go, ugh. And I'm like, ugh. We're like, yeah, today's fucked up. We can't do anything. It's like, we're already behind on all our work. Anyway, let's start and do the pod. All right.
Let's come in with a great energy. A real positivity. Yeah, great. I just want to see what it's like when that left brain, which in my myth, we're in the myth, Alistair. We're up to our tits in myth, right? And I was trying to do a rhyming phrase.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Fucking hell. The left brain, what it does when it's finally freed from the burden of the right brain, okay? The logic, when we can get rid of that sort of logical, analytical... rational part of the brain and see what the left brain can do when it's unfettered. The two hemispheres of the brain are a classic double act. You've got the straight man, right? And then you've got the funny, weird guy. Okay? You've got your Leno and Woodley hemispheres of the brain. And I want to I want to see Woodley. I want to see the show Woodley where it was just Frank Woodley and... Famously, it actually wasn't as wacky or as fun as you'd hope. He made a show, I think, about being divorced or something like that. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, but I think it's on ABC iView now.
Okay, great.
I was at some point complaining that shows like that aren't on iView, and then I looked it up and it was on there.
Oh.
But yes, I think the way I like to picture this idea, right, is that you've split your body, right? At the moment, I can't do all the picturing of. I don't think I have the mental processing to be able to picture your half with the other body, but I'm just going to accept that that's what's happening.
Sure.
Right. And so then you've got, let's say you've got the creative half and then you've got the logical half and one is leading a creative life is kind of going into the arts and one is being like an engineer or whatever like
that. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, and so it's just you, you're kind of like a housemate sort of sketch thing like that. Anyway. And then you're like, oh my God, this has been working so well. We should split the brain further into quarters, right? And then you've got like the front left half in one, the back left half in the other, and the front left half in the other, and then things like that. But then things start to get a little bit more difficult because like the brain stem is just in like the back half. And that's where like a lot of the automatic stuff like breathing and stuff like that has to is processed. Mm. So that means that the other ones, they have to consciously remember to breathe.
Yeah, that would be challenging. And I think that would take away from some of your time to be creative, which is what you presumably what part of your brain was hoping to be able to do without being dragged down. But now you've discovered that now I've got to spend a lot of time remembering to breathe. I don't have as much time for my art.
Yeah, and then the other guy who does remember how to breathe has to, like, you guys have to take shifts, and one like has to stay up while you're asleep to blow air into your lungs.
I think somebody who's trying to be more creative and so has had themselves hooked up to some kind of breathing machine so that they don't have to use up any of their mental capacity on breathing. This could be an efficiency tip for the super successful, right? Hook your body up to a bunch of machines to like suck out your own shit and pump your lungs for you and stuff, and then you can.
Do you think you'd use the same machine for that, or do you think you'd want two machines?
I mean, I love the idea of
to suck the shit out and then pump it into your lungs.
I mean, God forbid that happened. I would say that our guarantee as a company is that that doesn't happen more than one time in 200 times.
Just like. But don't we have like 100,000 breaths in a day? Are you saying that that's going to happen roughly, I don't know, 10,000 times?
That's a good guess of how many breaths in a day, by the way. I think that's a good guess.
It's definitely way less, I think.
You reckon it's way less?
Yeah, I felt bad as soon as I said it.
You felt bad as soon as you said it, yeah. Let's see. So, I mean, if you said there was one a second, 3,600 times 24, carry the 4. I've got absolutely no idea. But, yeah, maybe around 10,000 is more accurate. No, it can't be around 10,000. That would be complete. I think you might be right. I think maybe 100,000. I'm going to ask Siri. No, Siri's not gonna respond because I'm on a call. Hang on.
Yeah, right.
This is good stuff.
I mean, it seems to... Oh, yeah. Never mind.
I'm going to look it up. How many breaths...
Creatively.
...in a day? Here we go. 22,000. I don't think you were, like... You know, I think orders of magnitude. Yeah. You were within a factor of 5. Yeah.
Look, that's not too bad. That's less than 10.
Yeah. It's less than 10. And that's another number that you got that right as well. God, you're mathematically, yeah. You're brilliant today. My version of this...
did you see, you know... Mm. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, did you see that Leo Puglisi guy or whatever his name is who runs that teenage...
Six News, yeah.
Six News in Melbourne, who is now an Australian celebrity, like probably one of, you know, he's going to win Australian of the Year one day. You know,
he's like 14 or something, right? And he made his own news channel, and he's just like always on Twitter, always getting into beef with people, but also apparently sometimes breaking actual news.
Yeah,
it's really fucking crazy.
He's like, he seems to be one of the only decent journalists in Australia.
Yeah.
But yesterday he reported that he got 2% on his trigonometry exam. 2%.
and he broke that news. When you say he reported, like,
yeah.
I think for people outside of the country hearing this and wondering what the fuck we're talking about, it's going to sound really confusing. It's going to sound a teenager giving news about his life. He's an
actual... but he's like a genuine journalist who's made a fake, like a real news like reporting company, and he's interviewed prime ministers.
Yes. Correct.
And they would go on thinking that it was going to be like a laugh, and then he would ask them hard questions.
And then he's also a high school student.
Yeah, yeah. And he also, because there's a person on Twitter who has the same name as the nickname of our Prime Minister, Albo. So the person who has @Albo, he's always correcting people when they tag that guy because he's always going, you tagged an Italian porn artist. This Italian porn cartoonist who's @Albo. He has to keep correcting people.
He has to.
And they're like, oh, grow up. Grow up, Leo. Like that. And then they don't actually realize that that's what they've done.
We're a real anyway, country. We're a proper country. Okay?
I brought up this whole trigonometry thing so that I could tell you the line that I commented underneath.
Oh, great. Okay, here we go.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I wrote, Pythagoras would be triangulating in his grave. There
you go. I would have said, oh, Leo, that's not a good sign. But I would have spelled sign.
That's really good. Because you need a tan. There you go.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Fucked it up.
Got a tan. All right, now. That's not a good sign.
I like the idea that, I like the idea of the machine that has been made for creative people so they can get more work done, that breathes for you and sucks your shit out, and then that it has been, then they discover that it's been pumping shit into your lungs, and it's in many ways made things much worse.
Yeah, great. Now, I was just going to go back to this idea of a person who has their left and right brain separated, right? I think it would be good to do a film in which those things come into strong rivalry. The right side of the brain, the left side of the brain becomes an artist and a progressive and an activist and is trying to, you know, struggle to stay alive. The right side of the brain becomes an ultra capitalist, okay? Exploiting the world, its resources. And
I mean, if the brain dead body that you were getting putting the brain halves into were an identical twin, then that makes this really easy to film.
Yeah. Great. Is it the identical twin of the person? So the
yes, I mean, it would be amazing if it was just an identical twin of another person, and that I would think that would make it easy. I mean, that would be really easy to film if that person who looks different was an identical twin with somebody else.
We never see an identical twin, but they are an identical twin. I think let's make a TV show where everybody's an identical twin, but we only use one of the identical twins.
That's really good.
You never see the other one. It would lend an extra... You know how when you meet somebody and they just kind of look like an identical twin? They just go like, you're like, you can't see the other person, but you're like, you can tell. I get that vibe from you.
It's an identical twin convention, but for people who don't want to always be seen with their identical twin.
That's really good.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's not a plus one. No plus ones. Identical twin convention. No plus ones. I think you know, as a world record or just as a piece of art, the idea of getting as many single halves of an identical twin coupling in the same room together at the same time, taking a photo of them all there, just the one of them. I don't know what that is, but it feels
Andy,
like something.
I love it,
it feels
so
like
much.
Art.
I think that there's some. Because there's a part of your brain that has, that is like almost putting like a ghost in there. There's like a ghost idea in it. When you see the person, each of those people, you go, oh, there's like a half missing.
Yeah.
But you're looking at a complete person. Do you think it's because we don't think of identical twins as...
As full people?
As full people? They're like an ant colony?
Well, it doesn't make sense. God wouldn't have prepared two souls, would he? He wouldn't
have known. He's only made one.
Yes, I'm sorry.
But he split it down the middle, and he put the creative half in one, and he put the logical half in the other.
Sometimes I think that has happened with my identical twins. with the boys.
God hasn't prepared two souls.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Anyway, yes, these two halves go to battle, right? And the eventually, I think, the rational corporate... capitalist side of the brain, the right side of the brain, ends up killing the other half of the brain.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah, and is it about growing up? I think it would be interesting because one probably would end up being more right-wing and the other would be more left-wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting.
Thank you. And funny.
And funny, Andy. Mm. Oh, my God. Well, the killing part is going to be the funniest bit, I think. I mean, I'm having trouble containing the laughter when I think about
good.
Two people who look identical killing each other. I love death. Oh, I love it.
Can you make people shit themselves laughing? Is that possible? Must be possible.
Me personally?
I guess if they're like already pretty close.
It's a show where you're trying to see if it's possible.
Mm.
And so you ask everybody to come to the show fully loaded.
Is that the term, is it? Fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
Like really good.
Like a chip with a new supreme nacho cheese flavor. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, and it's an ad. It's an ad that you put on, like, just it feels like it's one of those ads that you would see on Facebook or Instagram, where it's like the Something Institute is doing a study on whether or not it is possible to induce excrementing through the process of laughter. Mm. And so we are asking to people to sign up and come in fully loaded. I mean, absolutely chock-a-block.
Mm.
And I do mean chock.
Yeah.
And we have to see a wonderful comedy show. I mean,
I
just
think that sound of the room when you really get it. What are
the sound is not what I'm thinking about. It's the smell of that room. Yeah. That room as people are doing like those horrid like right before a shit farts where they're like people are like, oh, you need to take a shit. That gas was, I mean, very recently fraternizing with an actual turd.
Mm, yeah, I know exactly what you're describing.
Yeah, there's no clean air in there. And it's just a carrier of particles. Sorry, I should be done.
Yeah, no, that's been mingling. No doubt.
There's been some intermingling. Lobster with a mobster, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Inside each of us, there is a lobster and a mobster.
There is a politician, the air, the gas, having lobster with... That is mingling with a mobster, the turd.
Alistair's references are getting so local and so Australian.
Well, I'm leaving Australia soon, so I start to grasp onto my identity. I'm going to be in no man's land over there. I'm not going to be Canadian when I go back. People are going to be like, you sound like a fucking idiot.
Like a skip.
You sound like a bloody skip. And then all the, and I'm going to get beaten up in the schoolyard.
Do the listeners know if we talked about this? We have talked about this, that you're moving to French Canada.
To French Canada, to French Canada. Yeah, I don't know if, I think we may have mentioned it, but I've decided I'm going to just give it a go for a little bit.
Alistair and his beloved and his family.
Family.
Their family are going to live in Montreal and... He's going to make a go of it in the
big
city.
Just going to make a go of it in the big city. Mm. A city probably smaller than Melbourne.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least Melbourne is very big. Oh, my God. Montreal population is only like 1.78 million. That was in 2017, but Melbourne's like a 5 to 6 million people city.
Is it?
Yeah,
why? And I still can't get that many people to my show. What am I doing?
It's too late now, Alistair. You've sold all your possessions. There's nothing for you here. The podcast will continue.
Somebody's already taking over our lease.
We'll be more tired. So that's exciting.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's good. And at least it'll be, you know, I'll be able to go out and do comedy every night. You know how hard it is already to go out and do comedy every night? Imagine doing that in a blizzard. All right, wait. So now we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ideas, Andy.
Before we go on, I'd just like to mention that Stupid Old Studios is launching a comedy lab, which is going to be a fund to be able to provide free services to comedians, free production support, free office space, free podcasting. Comedians will be able to apply to this fund to get access to these services. It'll break down barriers. It'll make things happen. We are doing a live telethon-style fundraiser on the 12th of December. I will be hosting with Beck Petratus. It'll be a talent show. People are going to be coming on. We're trying to kickstart this thing and get people to donate to the fund so that we can offer this and really help people make more things in comedy in Australia. So if you are able to tune into that telethon, or even if you're just able to check out the pitch video or the website for the Comedy Lab, I will put a link in the show notes. Thank you.
Well said, Andy.
Thank you.
God damn, well said. Is the fundraiser started? Is it a fundraiser?
I think people can chip in. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great. But as in, it's not started, right? It happens on the day, or is there?
I think you can already start donating.
Okay. Great, great. I've just gone to the Comedy Lab website and help fund Comedy Lab here. It has a monthly and it has a one-time button over here. Yes.
Every on little bit
on stupidoldstudios.com/comedy lab.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, great. Well, how would you feel about going to Three Words from a Listener?
God, I'd feel so good about that.
Well, that is so nice, Andy. Do you want to guess what listener it's from?
Okay, I guess that the listener is Reese Palaro. Reese Palaro.
Let me see. Oh, I'm sorry, Andy. You couldn't be more wrong. It is Andriana Genuality.
You know what? That was my first instinct. I was going to say Andriana Genuality. I'm not shitting you. I almost said that, and then I was like, that puts too much pressure on Andriana.
Yeah, and it puts too much pressure on, I guess, maybe on all the other listeners who, you know, have not had the opportunity to make themselves known as much.
Yeah, yeah, but she's burned into my brain.
Absolutely. Well, we are genuinely grateful.
Yeah.
That you've sent in these words. Now, Andriana has sent in 3 words from a listener today, and I believe they're from her. And so would you like to try to guess what the 3 words are? Maybe let's start with the first word, unless you want to start with the second or third.
First word is rancid.
Ooh, yuck. You only got 1 letter correct. And I would say, but you know what? There's some ballpark in tone.
Okay.
The first word is limp.
Limp. Okay. Great. Limp. Limp. Second word, blitzen, as in the reindeer. Blitzen.
Wolf Blitzen? Oh, no.
Wolf Blitzen.
Wolf Rudolph. Wolf Blitzen. Well, Wolf
Comet,
Wolf Donner, Cupid. And Wolf Prancer.
Mm.
And no, the second word, I'm sorry, Andy, is imp.
Limp?
Oh, my God.
Imp.
Yeah.
Now, is the final word going to be gimp or simp.
Andy, I accidentally told you the wimp. Third word. I just want you to know that. Limp, I'm so sorry.
Imp. So that's the third word. So now I'm trying to guess the second word. Jeez, this is going to have to get my brain in gear here. Limp. Gimp. Second word is gimp.
Andy, no. No, it's not gimp. It's crimp.
Limp, crimp, imp.
Oh, wow.
Can I tell you
You know what? Out of all of the mythical creatures, I don't ever think I've ever pictured one crimped. Like, is that crimping like the hair, like they used to do the hair?
Oh, yeah, that is crimping. Yeah. Yeah. Crimping can be to do sort of any kind of thing where you're like, you've got a press and you're pressing things together to fuse them or to engage some sort of locking thing around. You would do crimping around to make a seal between a plastic sleeve and a rod.
Yeah. I mean, to think that there's a creature out there that is that its threat to you is that it will crimp you. It will come and squeeze you. But that the creature is so soft, it has no firmness to it. It has no bone structure, right? And so then it comes and squeezes you. It has almost no effect on you. Other than just the knowledge that it's happening.
That you have, wow, okay.
And so then, but then you could imagine being overrun with these things because, I don't know, they breed very fast or something like that. And they don't have a lot of effect, but it's happening more and more.
Well, it sounds to me, these almost sound like the those souls of the dead aliens that you get in Scientology, that they're sort of attached to your body. They're slow, they might be able to they build up, they accrue on you. Right, this could be an alien invasion style movie where there are these creatures that come. They arrive on Earth. They sort of attach themselves. They're sort of parasitic, but they have such a small effect that most people are just getting around with heaps of these things just attached to their body. They subsist.
And it's actually not worth the effort. There was a big effort at the beginning to just try and like dispose of them and get rid of them and stuff like that. But eventually they just let the dead ones fall off and just be on the ground. And then suddenly we're just stepping on them. The ground is just covered in these things. And they keep coming.
Yeah.
And they keep breeding and things like that. And then suddenly it's just like the whole top of the earth is covered in the limp, squishy bodies of these things.
Of these crimp imps.
These crimp imps, these limp crimp imps.
I am also imagining, to step away from the limp element, an evil creature that does have some sort of crimping power that would, I imagine, have claws that grab onto your body and, using heat and pressure, bend you so that your body bends at 90 degrees backwards. So basically you've got your legs and then the top of your body is now bent backwards like that at 90 degrees to your legs. And I think it would be so debilitating. Like, you wouldn't be able to get around. Maybe you could sort of crab walk on your arms and legs, but I think seeing a lot of people in this situation, then you have, again, an alien invasion kind of situation where it doesn't kill anybody, but it really incapacitates them.
Hmm. I mean, being bent backwards at a 90, it does incapacitate you a tremendous amount. I don't think you can bend like that.
No, but it's able to do it in such a way, this is where the heat element comes in. It doesn't actually break your spine or anything like that. You're not actually paraplegic.
Like
you can still, you can still move all your body as you would otherwise, but you are just now, you've got that.
Would you walk on all fours, but that in that kind of like bridge shape?
Yeah,
like,
I think you would have to. That's the only way to get around.
Yeah, and so then you would see that happen around you, and then you would have to like either not leave the house or go out and eventually just adapt.
Mm. Well, it's an invasion of the body snatchers style situation, invasion of the body crimpers, where society, as you say, does adapt. And eventually, as the numbers shift, and maybe this could be, I don't know what this could be an analogy for, right? But I guess it's an analogy for ableism and the way in which the built world is constructed for the needs of the majority, right? But as the majority, as more and more people are crimped, as the majority shifts and we start to rebuild society around the needs of the crimped, the people who are traditionally what you would think of as like, you know, straights, we'd call them straights, or no, maybe that's not the word, but perps, because they're perpendicular. No, no, it's not right. If it's something, yeah, perps. But straights, I guess.
I think straights is pretty good. But also now suddenly like the word crimped does seem on the nose, like because it's so close to a term that I've heard disabled people use to describe themselves as crips. But I think it's fine. I think it's actually like this feels like it's Barbie movies, but for the Barbie movie, but for alien invasions about issues of disability. But also, I love to picture a video of a guy who's bent backwards, like kind of talking down on people who are not, and talking and kind of being like. Like talking about hustle culture and how he lives his life and how it's like it's so much better since he's been bent backwards.
Yeah.
But then and you see him working out and you see him like, you know, stock trading and you see him but all upside down and backwards.
Yeah, I really like that.
He's drop shipping. He's you know. You know, do you ever see that guy? It was like from one of those like motivational things, like, you know, kind of, you know, stupid, dumbass videos from like a kind of like a hustle bro.
Mm.
And he is being interviewed on like one of these things. And he's saying, see, what I do is I split my day into 2 days. So from 6 a.m. to 12, that's one day. And from 12 to midnight or whatever like that, he split it up in some way. That's another day. So I do everything that I would do in a day in a half day, which is now a full day. So that means that by day two, by you know, on day one, I'm one day ahead of you. Yeah. By day two, I'm 4 days ahead of you. Something like that. I'm 3 days ahead of you. By 1 week, I'm a week and a half ahead of you. Like this, 1 month, you know, and it's like, it's the stupidest thing. And I don't know how he actually lives his life like that, but it's actually a really beautiful. And then I think I saw somebody actually, you know, stitch with that thing and was like, well, I break my day into 3 days. I'm 12 days ahead of you.
Yeah. It's really good.
I hope that this was okay, Andriana. Genuality. I hope it was Genuality. Okay.
My Genuality.
Hey, you can join the Discord. It's a fun time in there. There's been a lot of nice stuff. It's been very fun, you know, seeing people like you know, Karina's been going through the 400th episode over the last month.
Yeah.
and showing us the meals that she eats while she
is watching it and.
While she's watching
at
it.
At different points, and you get to see photos of us slowly degrading.
Yeah. That 400th episode was so long ago now, and it feels like, I was like, Andy, we're going to lose listeners now. We've been posting this episode for too long. We've been posting this one episode for 6 weeks or whatever like that. So if you're still around, you know, season five, it's going to, you know, it's hard, you know, if you made it through 400th episode, congratulations. And
this is where we start to reveal the true secrets of the podcast.
Yeah, so you know, this is when you really want to listen and find out all the secrets, all of the uncomfortable truths. Is it okay if I was to take you through the sketch ideas?
Sounds good, Alistair.
We got the first dance track about caring for an elderly relative.
Yes.
Yes. Then we've got the Cop of Joe, of course.
Cop of Joe.
It's a mob who runs a city so much so that they drink their coffee straight from the mouth of a police officer. We got the split brain, split body situation.
God, we talked about that for a long time.
for a long time, and we got to create. And there's different ways in which it can go. But I like to think that when they split it into four, and they realize all the problems that that creates, they split back into two.
That's fun.
Then we got the machine that breathes for you and sucks out your shit so that you can get more work done, and then it accidentally pumps shit into your lungs. I know you love that part.
I really do.
I know that's the part.
It's when I came alive.
Yeah. Which is the opposite of what happened to this person on the machine. Mm. Then we got a show where everyone is an identical twin, but you never see the other one. And I just love that already. I think the show should be just called Identical Twins.
Yeah.
And it's an office of identical twins.
Mm.
I mean, imagine The Office, right? But it's identical twins,
yeah.
Right? They have a hiring policy, but you... and you only have to use one actor. And yeah. You never see the twins together.
Mm.
There's just a lot of like... No, that was my brother you were talking to earlier. Then we got the soft, weak alien invasion, but it's not worth doing anything. That's where they fall, cover the ground. Mm. They probably would fertilize the ground or something.
Maybe.
Oh, they'll probably be made of silicon or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. They might be like inert in that respect.
Yeah. It'll probably just change the whole composition of the, and block the topsoil from getting access to air and things like that. And anyway, it's probably,
this might be a metaphor for
something. Thing is that they're not bothering us that much though. Then we've got aliens that bend you back 90 degrees. Until a majority are.
I think that's basically what happened in the Carboniferous era. That the Carboniferous era was the point in time in which trees had evolved and the ability to form cellulose molecules. But there was nothing that had developed the ability to break them down. I might have already said this on the podcast. There was nothing that could consume those molecules. So just for millions and millions of years, there was just like trees would fall over and they would never rot. And they would just build up in this huge pile, you know, deeper and deeper stuff. And that's where all our coal and everything comes from. These forests that just never rotted and then were eventually compressed. Because there was no...
That's so cool. I didn't know that bit.
Yeah, this is what I've heard. Oh, I haven't looked it up.
God, I love that.
It's good, though. Imagine that. But that's what it would be like with these alien bodies.
Ah, so that means that the Earth won't even create new coal now.
I think we're post-coal.
Also, I want to just talk about this idea that I've had for a long time. But it's just a tiny little thing. But... maybe I've mentioned this, but do you think that, you know, like, because I'm a bit obsessed with the idea of abiogenesis, and I don't even know if that's how it's pronounced. Abiogenesis, right? Mm. The creation of life from non-life, right?
Yes.
And if that was a thing that occurred, and all life is from that one initial occurrence, it makes you think that these things must be unbelievably rare. But the idea must be that it still happens now, but... whatever gets created would just be eaten automatically by something that already exists.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. There's no, you really need there to be nothing else around so that you have the chance to survive. Find your feet.
Yeah.
Right? It's too harsh an environment for new life.
But there also could be pockets of places where maybe it has occurred.
It's like the Australian television comedy industry. There's just no chance for you to break in these days.
Yeah, because there's just already bigger things that come in that are more efficient and cheaper.
Well, or that there's already just so many incumbent people who are not moving on, right? So you can't get any of the small number of spots that are available.
Yeah. I mean, I do blame the industry as well for that. For not, anyway, it doesn't matter. let's do
get
the
out
song.
Of here.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Two in the Think Tank. Sorry about that rant at the end there.
No. It was just that I was like, oh no. That makes me sad. And then I want to argue about it, but then I was like, this is not worth it for... Yeah, and I just had a discussion with somebody where they were like, I'm going to move to LA because I just could not possibly have one more conversation about that ends talking about why the ABC is fucked. And I was like, well, if you move to LA, you'll be talking about the American Broadcasting Corporation. So it'll be the same. No.
But at least there's other places to go. Alistair, thank you for your time.
And Andrew, thank you for yours.
You know what I say to the listeners?
What's that?
We love you. We do mean that. We say it all the time, but we mean it.
We do mean it. And that's one of the other uncomfortable truths of this podcast that we have. We've meant it the whole time. See ya.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.